This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA plus community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Saturday Magazine, sponsored by Velocity Rewards,
the award-winning loyalty program for Virgin Australia's frequent flyers.
Hey, you. Yeah, you. On the job site, did you know that over half of the people who listen to Joy are allies of the LGBTIQ plus community, just like you? So you may not be aware, times are very tough financially at Joy, and we're reaching out for your support. So tell your workmates, your next door neighbour, and even your mum to head over to joy.org.au and help us build Joy Nation by making a donation. Joy, your voice, your radio station.
Across Melbourne on Joy 94.9 and streaming online at joy.org.au, you're listening to Saturday Magazine, every Saturday 10 till 12.
You're listening to Saturday Magazine with Paul and Macca on Joy.
We had some technical difficulties there. We're going to keep trying. We're going to speak with Richard Wilkins next. And Richard is at Melbourne Institute of Applied Economic and Social Research, the Faculty of Business and Economics, University of Melbourne, and the Hilda Survey. Now, there is a great name for a survey. And the Hilda Survey is the Household Income and Labour Dynamics in Australia survey. And what we want to talk about is the economic impacts of COVID-19. Paul, I think this is going to be a good chat.
Yeah, we've got Roger Wilkins on the line now, Macca.
How are you, Roger? Good morning, and thank you for your time.
Oh, that's not coming through. Let's try that one more time. Can you hear us now, Roger?
Yes, I can hear you.
Oh, great. Sorry about that. We're having some... we've got our own virus in here. So the Hilda survey, my understanding, that's been around for quite a while, hasn't it?
Oh, it doesn't seem to have come through, Macca. We'll try something else in just a second.
Okay.
So, Roger, we're just saying that the Hilda survey, just give us a quick rundown on what that is and how long it's been around.
Well, it's Australia's nationally representative longitudinal survey of Australians. So we started in 2001, interviewing people about all aspects of life in Australia, and we've been interviewing the same people every year since. So we've been going just on 20 years now. Interviewing about 17,000 people each year.
That's quite a sizable sample, but it gives you a lot of data to look at what you've experienced in the past. How do you use that to make some assessments and probably not predictions, but some assessments about what is likely to happen in the future and what the impact of this virus is going to be?
Certainly that's a challenge. What you can do, though, is look at things. I mean, to give you one example, we ask a series of questions about the extent to which people are lonely, and you can look at the circumstances of people who are lonely. And so, if with this virus we see a rise in the number of people in that circumstance, it can give us a handle on how much of an increase in loneliness we'll see in the community more broadly. So that's the sort of exercise you can do. Similarly, we can look at the people who are employed in the industry that have essentially been shut down mandated by the government. We can see who they are, what their family circumstances are, how much mortgage debt they have, what their rental payments are, all that sort of thing. So then we can see when they're thrown out of work by the virus and the regulations that are accompanying that, we can get a gauge on how many are being affected and what the nature of that effect will be. So that's the sort of thing you can do with a study like this to make it relevant to what we're going through right now.
Yeah, because there's really no substitute for actually having that data and the facts before you. We're going to see, we've already seen, as I mentioned earlier, I think on Wednesday alone, there were 280,000 people who lodged an intent to claim from Centrelink, and that was Wednesday. We don't have figures for Thursday and Friday. We saw Myer basically closing down yesterday, a whole lot of other retailers closing down. I'm interested in the university sector, in the tertiary sector. This must be playing out, you know, in a very similar way, because you can't have students congregating, so a lot of it's going to have to be online, isn't it?
Yeah, that's right. So I'm at Melbourne University, and the term that's being used is, you know, we're becoming a virtual campus, so everything is online. But that means that we're not shutting down in the same way a lot of businesses are having to, because there's no way for them to easily, you know, cafes and so forth. Their only substitute is delivery, really, and I guess takeaway. But it's easier for some businesses than others to go to that sort of remote or virtual environment. And obviously, there's in the university sector, there's a whole lot of support services, and the food services, all the adjacent businesses that sort of go along with it, which are going to have been very adversely affected by this.
Roger, just taking you back to the Hilda survey again, because we're in such unusual circumstances, would you consider actually doing the survey on a more frequent basis over the course of the coming months, just to try and chart what is actually happening to the populace in terms of income and the other things that you discuss?
I mean, it would be great if we could do that, we are funded by the federal government, and the federal government, in fact, owns the study. So, and they are rather preoccupied. In fact, the department that funds it is the Department of Social Services, and that's
busy.
they're a bit busy, but it would certainly. We are certainly planning on asking people a lot of questions this year about their experiences with the coronavirus and how they've what effects it's had on them and how they've coped with it. That will certainly be a focus. But I think for getting at this the contemporaneous experiences of people, it's probably the more natural vehicle is something like the Australian Bureau of Statistics Labour Force Survey, because they're out there every month anyway. These people are being interviewed monthly anyway, so that would be a natural option for that kind of immediate data.
And I think, you know, the history of the survey, you know, that, you know, you've got many, many years of data to see how how the economy has changed, how work has changed. Probably a little bit off the reservation here. I'm thinking, do you think that what we're going to see is that with so many people now working from home, and putting aside some of the difficulties we have about remaining connected, you know, capacity on the net, do you think this is going to change the way we work forever?
Quite possibly, although I have to confess, my experience so far has been that it's affirmed that that working from home is really inferior.
Yeah.
But others will probably have a different experience, and probably and perhaps over time, as I'm having to do it through a longer period, I'll become better at it, and so perhaps we will see that. There's been a lot of forecasting of a revolution in working practices, and more people working from home and so forth, facilitated by technology, and we haven't really to date seen that materialise. But maybe this is the kind of shock to a society that could change that. That we could see quite a significant change in how work is organised.
Look, in a lot of cases, you know, a lot of employers and organisations and industries have, in my experience, not always wholeheartedly supported people working from home. They perceive, they're sitting there in their trackies and patting the dog and, ducking out. Whereas now, for that business, you know, that businesses and those organisations, you know, and Joy, for example, 85% of our broadcasting currently is done remotely, that we're actually going to have to make this work, because dare I say it, this won't be the only time this is going to happen. We could, you know, we could face another situation like this. So I'll be looking forward to when the next Hilda survey is done and ones after that, you know, as to how this has actually played out, you know, with employers, you know, with not-for-profits, with the government, you know, with the unions, you know, in the tertiary sector and everything, because I think, you know, my gut tells me we're actually going to see some big changes. If nothing else, we're going to see changes in the backgrounds in people's rooms when they're doing Zoom.
I do think it's quite weird, though, because in our business, we've been trying to do lots of video conferencing, and I pretty much spend my day from dawn till dusk on some sort of phone conference. And there's been a real mix of people using individual videos, or whether people are going to be doing stuff just on the telephone. And I think the connection in terms of getting people in an eye-to-eye situation on video is so much more productive and just really gets people working together.
Yes. And I think, you know, the point you made about businesses being hesitant in the past, I think a lot of that was concerns about being able to monitor.
Yes.
But probably also it was just an inertia in that, you know, it would take effort to reorganise your systems to, you know, allow for adequate monitoring and so forth. And so, you know, this sort of event, you know, helped employers think about how they can make it work and make the investment in making it work. And so, I think that would be another reason why we could see a step shift in working in practices. And as you say, the Hilda survey data is we collect detailed information on things like working from home and work arrangements and so forth. So we'll really be in a position to see if we do get persistent change like that.
Look, I think it's going to be interesting, Guy. Thank you for your time, and I hope that if you are asking the federal government for some money to do it again, I think it would provide them with some valuable information, even if it's, you know, near the tail end of what we're going through. I think it'll provide some really valid information. Look, I thank you for your time, and our slogan here is stay in and stay alive. I think it's important for everyone, and the most other important thing is make sure all of us, you change the background when you're on a Zoom meeting.
Roger, thank you very much for joining us on Saturday Magazine this morning. We really appreciate it.
Thank you.
We do. Thank you.
Saturday Magazine is proudly sponsored by Velocity Rewards, the loyalty program of Virgin Australia.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.